right, good morning, Church on the Rock. Woo! All right, so good to see you. All right, let's shake off the coldness. Is it really snowing out there or not? I don't know, maybe not. And for those of you who love Christmas, I hope you enjoyed the Christmas music coming in here. Looking forward to this morning and our continued worship and hearing from God in His Word. And I'm looking forward to tonight at our prayer summit. We have that happening every last Sunday of the month. This is it. On Zoom, 8 o'clock, and that you can get on that through our Facebook site or website. And I'm excited to hang out with you there. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to ask that God would just open up His Word and speak to our hearts. So let's talk to Him. Heavenly Father, You are good all the time. We studied Your goodness for more than 6 weeks. Your goodness to us through salvation, through grace, through the family, through everything that You have done for us. And we want to come together and gather together and recognize Your goodness. You are good all the time. So God, I pray that You'll speak Your goodness through Your Word today. Help us to be able to have some lights turned on. I pray You'll send everyone home with one more thing that they can mull over in their mind, their heart, but even more important, that You would change us, that You would transform us from the inside out. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I know we all have different personality types. One of my personality types is that I like to try and figure people out. I'm kind of quiet. I'm internal. So I'll sort of sit back and just try and figure them out. So are they introvert, extrovert? Do they like to close things off, or do they like to keep things open? Are they thinkers? Are they feelers? I like to figure that one out. And as a leader, I'm trying to figure that out with each of my people. And so I can treat them well and the best, figure out what their love languages are so we can love them well here at Church on the Rock. I remember somebody asking me once, wonder what God's personality is. And we go, hold on, He doesn't have a personality. And you go, no, He's not human. God is not human, but He is a person. And that is like one of the central tenets of what we study in theology. God is a person. In fact, He exists in three persons. And so there is a way that is about Him. In fact, the Bible talks often about, teach me Your ways, O God, because there's a way that You do things. And I want to understand what your personality is like. What are the ways in which You do things? For instance, one of the ways that He does things, He loves faith. He says you can't please Him without faith. So as we trust in Him, as we believe in Him, there is something about faith that's in Hebrews chapter 11, that He just loves faith. You know, here's another way of God. Here's another personality piece of God, or something that is in Him that is deep. And that God's desire is to build a family, a nation, a gathering. He loves when people, His people, come together, when they come together. Now think of this almost as Lego blocks, okay? You know how dangerous a single Lego block can be, right? It's on the floor and you almost die when you step on it, right? But when it's snapped together in a building, snapped together in a structure, it is safe, it's good, it's all together. I remember seeing this TikTok of these guys. They put Lego pieces on a treadmill and they tried to walk on them to see how long they could do it. It was awesome. They were rolling over in pain. The idea, the perfect expression of a single block is when it's snapped together with others. That's what it's made for. That's what it's all about. And that is what God loves about His people. He called out Abraham as an individual, but as an individual, He says, I'm going to make you a nation where every ethnic group is going to be blessed through you. Yes, I love you as an individual, but your meaning is to be able to create something that's connected. He called out Moses to bring out a people for Him. He loved Moses. He called Moses individually, and we all get called out by God individually. But Moses' job was to make a nation, to be a light to other nations. We come to faith individually. We come to faith individually. But that individual faith gets plugged into a togetherness where now we are citizens of a different country. We're not supposed to be citizens of this country anymore. We're citizens of a different country. Not only that, we're part of a family. We're part of a gathering. We say yes to Jesus, and our salvation is secured individually. But then He puts us into groups because God just likes that. God likes groups. I think some of it is probably stems from him being Trinity. From all eternity, he's been a group. He's been three persons in one and loving each other and having joy together. And he wants that expression as we are made in God's image to be able to come together and to be put together in a group. So we both know him individually, but our meaning is to be in a group. Psalm 34:3 says this, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Oh, magnify the Lord with me." That's the individual part. God, can you change me? Can you make me a better person? Can you make me more Christ-like? Magnify the Lord with me. So when people see me, that it's almost like God gets brought closer. I'm almost like a God telescope, because some people think God is so far away. So magnify the Lord with me. Let people see God in me. But then what's the purpose of it? And let us exalt his name together. And so yes, I'm called to God individually, but I'm asked to come to God together. And so we're doing a small three-week study on what the church is. What is the church? It is a gathering, we found out last week. And Jesus came up with this idea. We didn't come up with it. Humans did not. God said, listen, I want my people not only to come to me individually, but to be together in a gathering. Last week we discovered a local church is a spiritual reality. There are individual lampstands and angels for individual churches. I'm not sure if it's a literal lampstand in heaven or not, but somehow, literally, individual churches are recognized, and they have different angels. Someday we're going to get to talk to a Church on the Rock's angel and say, man, wow, you know, thank you for helping us with this. Thank you for protecting us. Thank you for leading us in many good ways. Last week we discovered how much Jesus is connected to his body, the gathering, the local church, is that he calls us his body. And there's one scripture from last week that's been winging around my head, and it makes me sort of jump in and try to understand it more. And this is a fascinating thing I'd never thought of before. And we read this one last week, Colossians chapter 1, verse 24. He says, I'm glad when I suffer, this is Paul talking, for you in my body, for I'm participating in the sufferings of Christ. So he says, Paul, I'm glad I get beat up for the local church, because I'm suffering, but you know what? Christ is suffering, and it's in the present tense, and that Christ continues for his body, the church. So Christ continues to suffer for his church. And I got thinking about that. I remember asking some people, and a good friend of mine said, oh yeah, do you remember when Paul was on the road to Damascus and Jesus called? He didn't say, why are you persecuting my people? Why are you persecuting my brothers and sisters? He didn't say, why are you persecuting my children? He says, why are you persecuting me? And when I saw that, I go, wow, when the church around the world is suffering, that is Jesus's body who is suffering. He is so connected to his local church. Christ is being suffering again and again because we are his body. And that's why during our prayer summits, we pray for the persecuted church, because as they get beat up, Jesus continues to feel that persecution against his own self. So at the end of the day, I just want us to know the gathering, the church matters. The gathering, the church matters. The gathering matters both to Jesus universally, that there will be one gathering up in heaven at the end of time, but local churches gathering together, that matters to Jesus. In the book of Revelation, he sort of took the temperature of individual churches. And I wonder what he would say to us if he took our temperature. The big error these days is to say that faith is only to be lived out individually. But you were never born a Christian. You had to make that decision. That had to be a decision between you and God. But then you're put together with God's people. The fullest meaning I can live out as a spirit in my spiritual life is when we're together. I often say it's like being a hockey player. You can say, once I become once I become a Christian, I'm a hockey player now. I've given the stick, you know, I give them the pads. Woo, okay, I can do this. And so you can deke around with a puck or a ball in the driveway all you want. And you go, wow, this is awesome. I am a hockey player. But until you get put on a team, you don't really fully understand really what it means to be a hockey player. And in the same way, you can know God personally, and it's amazing, but you don't fully understand what that means unless you're on the team of the local church. Our Christian faith is a team sport, is a team sport. Some people think, well, I'm not sure if I need to, because I think churches are really about only two things. I like to learn new things. So Dave, if you can come up with new things, that's a good thing. I like to meet my friends. It's about new things and friends. And it is. It is, okay? I want you to come here and to learn, and mainly to be reminded about what the scriptures say. But you know what? There's more to church than learning things and meeting up with your friends. There's more, just more. And I want you to just sort of push against that thought a little bit, just to say some things are better together. There are some things that God designed to be better together. One of them is worship. Is better together. Just worship is better together. I can throw on the tunes on my radio as I drive. I can sing away. Give me a guitar and a forest, and I'm worshiping God like crazy. That's awesome. You know what? I hate to say this. I'm a pastor, but sometimes I don't feel like worshiping. Isn't that weird? I know. You don't get up and leave now. But the idea is, like, sometimes I go, oh, yay, God. It's just like all of life seems to come, right? And it's just like, yay, God. But then I come to the gathering. And everything is all set. And I look around. And I see some of you with your hands up. I see little ones with the little flags. I see somebody just praying with their eyes closed, hand to their chest. And it slows me down when I don't feel like worshiping. And I go, oh, Dave, get my focus off myself. I am now going to put my focus on Jesus. And sometimes worship is just better together. I come in here and someone might give me a note of encouragement. And it's just, it'll be random. And, you know, not a part of a sermon series. And Dave, you know what? I've been praying, and God brought you up to mind. And so here's a verse for you. I take it. And it's almost like, you know, somebody just handed me a box of chocolates. Really. I go in the corner. You know, I open it up. And I listen to God's encouragement through someone else. And I feel like worshiping him. Why? Because I'm in the body of Christ. Or somebody comes and whispers to me and says, you know what? I think I have a word from God for you. You know what those words of God are? They're always supposed to be strengthening, encouraging, and comforting. Strengthening, encouraging, and comforting. They always build us up. And so when I get together, I come and get encouraged. And then I worship. I worship even when I don't feel like worshiping. And that's what the scripture says in 1 Corinthians 14:26. This is what it says. What am I saying, Christian brothers and sisters? When you meet together for worship. Why do we get together? Well, to hear the sermon and meet my friends. Yes. But you're also asked to come here to worship him. So when you come meet together for worship, some of you have a song to sing. I hopefully all of you do. Some of you want to teach. I hope we're here to teach each other and to go back and forth and learn from each other. And some have special words from God. Those are prophetic words that we encourage each other. So the idea, there's this sort of this soup that happens at church where you go, oh, it's another hard day. I had to get the kids here. Oh, I can barely make it. And you stumble in. And then the music plays, and a friend says hi, and then somebody gives you a word from God, and somebody says, hey, I've been learning this from the scriptures, and you know what, in our small group, and then you start to get fed by the body, and you come and you worship him, and it's good. I met somebody coming in through the door, and they said, Dave, I didn't want to come to church today, I was tired. Can anybody relate, right? And they said, I remember what you said last week. And she came in. She was barely in the door. And she said, I'm so glad I'm here. Why? Because we've come here. Worship is better together. Worship is better together. Jesus told his disciples where two or more are gathered, he's going to be there in a unique way. I think that was for the gathering. We know that Jesus is everywhere, but when we come together in his name, there's a sense of his presence. This is an old story, but I remember when I was speaking at a youth event, and it was off on some field somewhere, and they had tents for us all. I had a little tent. Car was real small at that time, and so, you know, she came with me, and as after one of the talks, put Car to bed, and I was just hanging out talking with some of the leaders. And I was talking pretty much outside, just outside the tent, and you know tents, right? They don't stop noise, right? They seem to amplify it somehow. And so I heard my little daughter in the tent. She said, "Dad, can you come in the tent? Daddy, can you come in the tent?" I said, "Well, you can hear my voice. I'm right here." And then she said, "But it's better when you're in the tent." In the same way, God is everywhere. God is everywhere, right? But when we gather together, he says his presence will be there, and it's better in the tent. It's just better in the tent. This is heaven's rehearsal where every tongue, tribe, and nation will sing praises together. Worship is just better together. Prayer. Prayer is better together. Now, I know this is a more difficult sell to you all. We find it sometimes easier to pray as we go. And often sometimes as we pray as we go, do you ever notice that you worry prayer? You know, we talk about this prayer, you know, "Oh God, this is happening to me. Oh God, this is happening to me. Oh God, this is happening to me." So you just worried to God. And you didn't actually ask him for anything. You didn't worship him for anything. You just sort of worried to him. You know what? When we pray together, we are pushed to praise him. We are pushed to give specific asks. We are pushed to pray for other people. Even though we think our world is falling apart, we have to take the needle off of our track and put it onto somebody else's track. There's something about praying together that is good. That's why few people come away from a prayer summit and think that was a waste of time. After every prayer summit, I go, "Wasn't that awesome?" I send messages off to people and they go, "That was so good. I loved it. Thank you." I keep on forgetting how good it is to pray together. There's a beauty about hearing voices lifted up together for the world, for our own pain, for the gathering. The early church prayed together all the time. Even Jesus, when he went off to pray in his darkest moment, he took his three closest friends. "Come with me to pray. Could you come with me to pray?" So Jesus, even in his darkest moment, wanted his friends to be nearby to pray. Even the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer, he said, "Okay, this is how you're supposed to pray." How does the Lord's Prayer go? What are the first two words? What is it? Okay, "Our Father." Let's try this again. Okay, let's all say it together. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Doesn't say "my Father," does it? Doesn't say "my Father." Doesn't say "Father." It says "Our Father who art in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread." Forgive us. What was Jesus teaching his disciples? He was teaching them sort of a way to pray, the things that different elements of prayer. But he was also teaching them that you do this together as a group. Prayer is better together. Prayer is just better together. This is one reason why we do the monthly prayer summit, is because it's like, I think this is how God designed it, for the church to come together to pray. And that's why I love everything from the pre-service prayer to our prayer summit to groups of you praying together. It gladdens my heart so much when I walk by and I just see two or three of you praying for somebody in the midst of this church. This is one of the unique things of this church, that we do this here. We don't say, "I'll pray for you," and walk away. We pray right away, and I would love to see that more and more and more. Why? Because praying together, prayer is better together. Also, communion is better together. We don't make a big deal about communion here at Church on the Rock. And when we're trying to figure out how to do communion, often churches will take sort of one Sunday a month where you do this, and they keep it as a separate event where they sort of run through people. And that's great if that's your tradition that you grew up in. That's amazing. But we started to come up against some pushback because when we started the church, we had a lot of people who weren't believers. And if you're not a believer, you should not take communion. If you, parents, if you have children who have not made their your faith personal. Don't let them take communion. It's dangerous. It's dangerous to the health of your kids, all right? It's dangerous to you if you go and take communion if you are not a believer. And so we said, hold on, there's all kinds of people, and they had the tray passed, and I go, okay, whatever, I'll chug it because it's there. And so we know we want to make it a personal decision for you to actually go and take some time in with communion. We also noticed, I went to a church where there's a line of people, and we just like went through it, and they're like, okay, here we go, here we go. Here's the bread, here's the wine. Okay, I'm out. And I go, hold on, no, I wanted to sit. I wanted to sit with that bread, and I wanted to feel it in my hands, and I wanted to say, God, Jesus, you got yourself whipped for my sins. Your body was broken for me. And I sit, and I imagine him doing that for my sins of the week, right? They say, God, you have been broken for me. And I take that in, and I worship him. And then I take the cup, and I go, oh, God, thank you that you spilled your very blood for me to have my sins being washed away. And I confess them all to you. And if God brings up any of them, I do. It's a time where I just sit in his presence for more than a second. Because I think communion is so important, so important. It says this in 1 Corinthians 11:26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Another reason why I kind of like how we do our communion is because it proclaims to others, I'm a believer, I'm a believer. So when we worship after our the sermon here, we go into worship. And over the next four songs, you have a chance to decide, I want to now take some time with the body and the blood of Jesus, and I want to linger over that. I want to reflect on that. You get up and go. And what you're doing, you're proclaiming to those around you, I'm a believer. I'm one of them. This is who I am. I'm like, it's like you're witness to others. I remember I was in Colombia, South America. My sister was a missionary there. And we were up in the Andes mountains, high up in the mountains, in a little tiny community. And it was a big deal when the missionaries came. And we came on horseback, which was so cool. So we had these horses that we came in through the Andes and came off in the little village. And my brother-in-law did some teaching. And then they said, okay, we're going to do communion. I go, that's cool. My brother-in-law says, Dave, it's not grape juice. It's potato squeezing. Okay. And he says, it's going to taste horrible, but drink it. Okay, you know, 17. I can do this. All right. And then the whole church goes out to the town square. And the whole town comes out to look. And there's an inner circle and an outer circle. And the inner circle, all the believers come in and they take communion together, and the outer circle are the people who aren't believers yet, and they're seeing who are the Christians there, who are the Christians, because the Christians are proclaiming, well, every time they take communion, they're proclaiming, I am Jesus's, I'm his child. And so I saw, you know, these townspeople looking at us all, you know, that's awesome, this is really cool. And then the cup came. You know how if you boiled old socks, that would be about it. So I proclaimed Jesus' death as I was about to die as I drank. But what it reminded me was this. It said, often as we eat this bread, drink this cup, we proclaim his death until he comes. Jesus also wanted this thing to be on our minds all the time. You know how easy it is for the church to get sidetracked for to make secondary things primary things? Churches all over the place are making secondary things, even tertiary things, right in the center. And Jesus said, hold on, there's going to be this tendency to lose sight of the central thing. And so what I want you to do every time you get together, I want you to take communion, because the central thing of this whole thing is that Jesus died and rose again for the forgiveness of our sins. And so we need to be reminded of that every week, every week, every week, every week. So often as you will, ask for, as you do. And we do this every week, just so there's an opportunity for us to be reminded every week that yes, this is the main thing. It says in 1 Corinthians 10:17, though we're many, we all eat from one loaf of bread, showing that we're one body. Now that's the downside of how we do it, right? We don't have one loaf that we tear things off of. And when COVID is over, Lord, get COVID over soon. Amen? Amen. Oh, my goodness. We go and serve our communion off one table. It's not quite the same as one loaf, but off one table. And someday when we can all get together, we're going to put it back on one table. Why? Because now we all eat off of one table, and that shows the unity of the believer. Because communion is better together. You can sit in your own room and do that yourself. But it's just better in the body. Becoming Christ-like is better together. So becoming Christ-like is better together. Yeah, it is. Somebody asked me once, so what's your job, Pastor? Like, you give a talk once a week, and is that all you do? Yeah, well, I do a lot more than that. And so we talked about all the various things that pastors do. Then I asked them, as they were satisfied, they're about to turn and walk away. I said, so at church, what's your job? And they sort of looked like going, what do you mean, what's my job? I said, the Bible has a lot more about what your job is than about what my job is. And they said, hold on, I don't get that. So every time the Bible says one another, that's everybody's job now. The reason why we gather together is to one another. One another. Let me give you a few hints. Bear one another's burdens. That's not the pastor's job, that is our job. We're supposed to bear one another's burdens. We're supposed to submit to one another. We're supposed to teach one another. And all these things are very difficult to do alone. Another one, another, that has real value when you're stuck together with people who are not mature. And whenever you put people together, it gets messy, doesn't it? Let's read a couple of these. Ephesians 4:2, be completely humble and gentle. Humble means you lift up others as better than yourself. Gentle, you're not going to be harsh and run over people. Be patient. Don't give God a timeline for when things are done. So be completely humble, gentle, and patient. And it says, bear with one another in love. That's forbearance. It's like, basically, you got to put up with people, all right? You're thrown together. Be humble. Be patient. And we can just like put up with everybody around here? And you go, wow, really? Yes, really. And that is the beauty of the church. You are thrown together with people that are not like you. You're thrown together with people that you don't like. Amen. There are people that grate you in the wrong way. And you go, God, why did you think it would have been so much better if it was just you and me, Jesus, you and me, and I don't have to put up being around other people? Well, God's desire is for us not only to dwell in unity, but also to be more Christ-like. In Colossians 3:12 to 14 says this, therefore, as God's chosen people, he's using the plural now, the gathered people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion. That means you have to actually put it on. Every day you got to put the clothes on, right? Put compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And here it is again. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If you're just meeting with a little group of friends, you don't have to bear with each other much, do you? You don't have to forgive them much because they're kind of like you. And that's really comfortable. It's really nice until you're thrown into the gathering where you have to bear with one another. You have to forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive them as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love that binds them all together in perfect unity. As Tim was reading, there's this beautiful unity that comes when we dwell together in peace. And it's not that they're not turkeys, okay? They are turkeys. They are. Okay, these people that bother you, they are full-on turkeys. But you know what? Jesus' unity and love trumps that. And God precisely uses some of those to rub off our rough edges. In one of my discipleship groups, it's fascinating. Somebody had a word of encouragement from God for somebody else. And they, hey, you know, I want to take some time. I want to encourage that person. And so they did. They did. And in the back of my mind, I knew that that person that they were encouraging really irritated them. And I go, isn't that awesome? Let's all step back. Somebody is irritated by someone else, and so what does God do? God gives that person an encouragement for that person. Isn't that great? And that is called the body of Christ. I know somebody else that is a good friend of mine. She had somebody that just really bothered them. And it was like, oh, I can barely even see them. And so she did a listening prayer exercise. At Church on the Rock, we do listening prayer. And so one of the listening prayer exercises is this. Who can I pray for? Guess who God gave her? That person. Okay. What God should I pray for him? Pray for blessings on him. And the list just went on, and blessing after blessing. And you know what? The person was still a turkey, right? But you know what? It changed her heart to become more and more like Jesus. And that is why becoming Christ-like is just better together. Some things are just better together. I praise God every day that my sins are forgiven. I'm going to heaven. I really do. Seriously, I praise God for that every single day. But I also praise God for his local gathering, the church, that has a lampstand in heaven, an angel looking over it. It's the highlight of my week. Sometimes people say, what was the best thing that happened to you this week? You know what? It's church, and it's not me giving the message. You know what it is? It's out there interacting with you, praying with you, hearing God's stories, hearing amazing things to see what we're doing as a body. And by the way, in case you didn't notice it, there's a red balloon up here. All right? This last week, one of our junior high students gave his life to Jesus. His name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. He has the Holy Spirit. He is locked in for heaven. And that is because the local church got together and did things together. And I am so proud to be a part of you all. I ask our worship team to come. So here's what I want you to do. This is not just information. This is actually, I want you to do something. Here it is. I want you to come to church ready to worship. You know what I mean, right? You come in thinking about everything. The music is playing. It could easily become, you know, the muzak in the elevator, right? It could be as you're worrying about other things. Can you put those things aside? And could you say, hold on, I'm gathering to worship. And decide to plug into worship. And worship with your heart, with your body, so you can encourage other people around you. Come to church ready to worship. Could you come to church ready to pray? If somebody says, oh, I've had a rough week, don't say, please don't say, wow, that's too bad, I'll pray for you. No, stop and say, let me pray for you now. Come to church ready to pray for each other. Come to church ready to take communion, to take these funny little cups, not about the cup. It's about a time to make the main thing. That Jesus Christ died and rose again for the forgiveness of our sins. And then get ready to grow. That maybe you need to go and talk to somebody that's not quite like you and welcome them. Maybe you need to get out of your comfort zone and say hi to somebody that you've never met before. Maybe that is not just your comfort zone, but guess what? Maybe God is here to make you better as we reach out to others. Jesus designed the local church because some things are just better together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for making this thing called the church. And Lord, I pray that you'll help us to be ready when we come together, God. It's not a production. This is not just a message and friends. This is so much more. And Lord, prepare us for so much more in Jesus' holy name. Amen.